up? We're back with another episode, and we're on the Swervin' Podcast. Got a great special guest with me today. We worked together, and he's been in my life for quite some time now, and it's just kicked off since we've met each other. So thought we'd have a great sit down and talk more about the biscuit and life. We got Chef Brandon Ponish on. What's up, Chef?
Oh, not much.
My guy. Yeah. Biscuit been jumping.
Oh, yeah, it's been jumping. It's a blessing, you know. Usually when you work at a restaurant, some people are like, you know, I wish it was slow today, this and that. But it's actually a lot of fun, you know, spending time with you and Elliot and Cam and Josh. It's like my little family, and it's fun when it's busy.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I said the other day. We were in the back. I was getting some dishes. I was like, it's just fun, man. We're just rocking. So, and it makes the shift go by faster when we're all cleaning up. It just looks back and you're like, that was a good day. So I think it's all going up in just small wins right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
How was your 24 wrapping up?
It was an interesting year. Let's just put it that way. I went through a little bit of a breakup, three and a half year long relationship, moved out, and kind of just dove into myself. I've lost myself over the past 7 years of cooking. I just dedicated all my time and everything to learning more and more about cooking, because I felt like I was behind, because I didn't just start cooking right out of high school like a lot of people. But then I quit drinking. I think it was four or six days after my 33rd birthday. Elliot really inspired me with that, because I've seen how far his life has progressed since that. And I slowed down, and then I got to the point one day where I was just pulled up to the house and I was like, I'm done. And people are always asking me, like, did something bad happen? And I'm like, nothing like really, really bad at the time happened. If anything, my life was going really good. I just wasn't feeling good. I started running more, I started going to therapy, and I started noticing my anxiety was starting to really dissipate. But then I would celebrate a busy weekend and go out with friends and have drinks, and then I'd wake up on Monday, my day off, that I would do therapy and I would do my runs, and I was anxious. I was not necessarily like feeling sick or hungover, but mentally I was just not as clear. And I was like, well, let's try it. So then I stopped, and then my life really started changing. My friendships, my relationships with my family, everything. My skin, my hair, like everything is better. And I made a promise to myself that I would cut my hair when I felt that my life was moving in the right direction to see the change that I wanted to see. And in November, I ran my first half marathon that I just signed up for in, I think, October, a month away, and I did it. And after that, I was like, you know what? I've proved to myself that I'm worthy of this change, and I'm dedicated to it, and life has just been so much better.
No, it has, and I love being around you, because, it's just like, I remember our first shift, like, just together at the wedding and stuff, and, you know, we all got done celebrating, and then you were, you know, doing your thing. I'm like, you know, Chef, you're good? And then you're like, yeah, but we know, like, you know, sometimes, you know, you aren't doing good. So seeing the journey of now that you're really good, I love it. You know, I just love it. It's just, like, it's all about evolving in all situations. So, and that's why I'm around guys like you. So it's all about building character. So that's what's up. I love that shit. Most know you're an expert chef, but most didn't know you're an artist. So yeah. Talk to people about that.
My biological mom's side of the family, they're very artistic. My grandma, she's 76, 77. She paints. She plays the drums for her church. She plays the piano for her church. She sings. Now she's in dance lessons. She just had a dance recital. Like, she's living her best life.
She's lit.
Yeah. And my uncle Joe, which we all call Go-Go, he's a shoe designer. He's in a band. He's a musician. And I've looked up to him my entire life. But my dad is actually pretty creative. He's a vice president of a software company now. He's a computer programmer. I was like, Dad makes some bread, and I want to make some bread. And I'm a senior in high school, and I took a computer programming class. And I really enjoyed like the process of everything. And then the process was cool, but I enjoyed the design. So then I went to school at St. Charles Community College because I thought that I had to go to school to be successful, you know? And I went for web design and graphic design. Didn't really like it at St. Charles Community College, but I always loved the city and I always wanted to live in the city. And so I joined St. Louis Community College, and then I changed my major to photography and graphic design. And I really enjoyed it, but it was hard for me to get out into the actual field. I would go to design firms and say, hey, I'm in school. Is there any way that, you know, I can trail it like for a week or a month or a day or whatever, just to see what the profession's like? And everyone shot me down. So I was just kind of feeling defeated and didn't really know what I wanted to do with my degree. So I came home one day and my mom and dad had every branch of the military, the brochures sitting out on the kitchen table, and they're like, look, you need to find something that's gonna like be defining for your life. And we don't know what to do, but these all have, we did the research and they have programs for videography and photography. And I was like, okay, thank you. I'll think about it. And I walked downstairs and I was like, there's no way. There's no way I'm going into the military.
No,
I
yeah.
I respect everyone that does, but I couldn't do it.
No, yeah.
But little did I know, when I walked out of school, I literally packed up my easel. I packed everything. And my teacher was like, what are you doing? I mean, there's literally a figure. There's a person standing there. Everyone's still drawing. And I was like, I'm done. He goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm a cook. And I went home. And my mom, she was like, what are you doing? Like, you're supposed to be in school. I said, I'm done. And she said, then what are you going to do? I was like, I'm going to go to culinary school. And she said, really? I said, yeah, one of my friends, I keep seeing him post about his schooling. And, you know, I was working at Sugar Fire at that time. And I was working my way up. And I just really love the camaraderie. And, just how fun it was and how hard you work, and when you're done with work you feel like you worked.
And that's what I love about the biscuit.
Yeah. And then she was just like, all right. So then I applied and I got accepted, and then from there life completely changed. And I kind of got away from the art. I was never really good at drawing perfect things. I really enjoy abstract. What I used to really enjoy doing was collecting different newspapers and finding a topic and then taking that newspaper and then basically taking a piece of wood that you buy from Home Depot, and you can take a torch to it and then it just completely changes the way it looks. And then I would basically glue different things around that subject onto the piece of paper.
Kind of like a vision board, but yeah. Different, yeah.
But then I'd spray paint and I'd use stencils to do whatever I wanted, or I'd take a canvas and think of the colors that I wanted to work with, turn some tunes on, and I just put paint on there and just kind of just go with it. No plan, just how I felt. And then sometimes how I felt looked really cool. But the photography aspect and videography aspect, I just really enjoy capturing moments that I'm surrounded with, you know. One of my favorite places to work out, like run or ride my bike, is the graffiti wall. I love the
graffiti. Yeah, I love it.
Because whether it's the same every day or someone adds something else, it's just, I like urban decay. I like the train tracks. I like the rough look of things. And I like to be able to capture that and show people. I really like posting on my Instagram story.
Mm-hmm.
And just showing people what I'm doing.
No, that's what's up. And then you traveled from art to the kitchen. You've been in the kitchen a long time now, so you went to Sugar Fire to...
I went from Sugar Fire to Vizia.
And then now at the Biscuit. Mm-hmm. But both, like, long stretches everywhere. Like, what made you stick within that? Because, you know, we have all the moments mm-hmm. within the kitchen, like, oh, fuck this shit, fuck mm-hmm. that. But, yeah. You know, you've just been locked in, and now you got bigger blessings. Like, I'm locked in, I'll be all right.
I like adrenaline, and I like teamwork, and playing football was very, very much so like that. Like, your coach is your chef.
Mm-hmm.
And all the players are the cooks, mm-hmm. if you look at it like that. And I wanted to learn how to be a coach that coached differently, but got the same outcome. I've been yelled at. I've been so stressed out. Like, I felt nauseous. And the pressure is just so high. But in order to become, what do they say, diamonds? Diamonds aren't made with pressure or whatever. It's kind of true, because there are times where I see myself doing something that I know is wrong, and I catch myself because I hear my mentor saying, that's not right, or don't do that. But it's the drive of like learning how to execute the same thing
mm-hmm.
perfectly X amount of times. And perfectly is kind of broad, but it's the adrenaline, the camaraderie, like all of that just keeps me. And
it's not perfect, but I feel like like going for perfect drives that initiative to like mm-hmm. do everything like right. Even like when you told me, like that little talk we had in the back, you were like, you're washing the dishes, but like you don't have like urge.
Yeah,
and I was like,
urgency.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, like you feel like you're doing good, but yeah. you can always be doing more, you know, or, you know, just, I don't know. I feel that though, yeah. you know what I'm saying? So I get weird.
It's the efficiencies.
Yeah,
it's
being like, efficient okay. in all what you're doing.
It's okay. I have 8 hours to do this. I can get 8 hours worth of stuff done, but can I get 12 hours worth of stuff done in 8 hours if I think smart? If I wreck my day in a way where I'm doing 3 or 4 things at once, then that list turns to this. It's fun. It's like this puzzle that you're constantly trying to put together. And the next day, the puzzle starts back over. And I just like timing myself. And like, it's like running a 40. How are you ever going to get your fastest 40 if you don't practice running fast?
Mm-hmm.
So speed comes with, you know, repetition, but cooking eggs, plating at the dinners. Like you see how we set up. One course goes out, we're already set up for the next one. And you learn that starting from the bottom, learning how to properly wash dishes. You know, people think it's just like, oh, you just spray them and put them in here. Mm-mm. No, you have to stack your dishes right. Everything, like this rack is gonna be all plates, or this rack is gonna be all that. And then like you work your way up, and then you learn how to run a station. You learn how to do your inventory. You learn how to communicate to your chef properly about what you should order, or what you're running, what you have too much of. And then you just do that over and over and over, and kind of just accept the yes chef. Even you know that they're wrong, you just say yes chef, and then you move on. Learning to not take things personal, you know, I worked my way up from a lunch cook at Vizia to a nighttime cook at Vizia. I worked all the different stations, and then I took a little bit of a break.
What sparked that cook to start dinner at the Loft? Like, what was like, cook's not enough, I want to like be making...
I want to be a chef. Well, dinner at the Loft came after I was already a sous chef. So I left Vizia and then worked at the last hotel with Elliot for about 9 months. And hotels, I won't go any further, are just not for me. and then I asked Chef Michael, the owner of, one of the owners of Take Root Hospitality, that has Vizia, Bistro La Fortison, and Wenzel's Table, which I ended up running. I started off as a sous chef, and then the head chef was on his way out, and Chef Michael asked me, like, hey, we like to, you know, give people within raises and let them grow. And I think that you're ready to do it. And I was terrified. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a huge operation. You know, you're open 5 days a week, but
we still gotta go.
Yeah. It's really fun. It's a really fun restaurant. It's a neighborhood spot. But there's a bakery. Then there's a bread baking, then there's the main kitchen, and it's kind of like a commissary in a way, for all the other restaurants for certain breads. And I was just like, man, you know what? I'm like, why can't we do this? I've done this for so long for someone else, with someone else, and like, I enjoyed every minute of it. I learned so much from those guys. Those guys are so talented. But, you know, everybody works a little bit differently, and I'm just, you know, me and Elliot, we vibe. We just have different vibes in those sense. And one night, Elliot and I, when we were drinking, we were feeling pretty good. We're sitting on the couch, and we're like, dude, what if we just brought people here? And we're like, let's try. He has 8 people at his spot, but let's just do it. So then we did it. But during COVID, I moved to my parents' house for a little bit out in O'Fallon, Missouri. And I was bored one day, and one of the neighbors called me, was like, hey, I'm trying to surprise my wife for her birthday on Friday. Is there any way that you can do this, blah, blah, blah? I'm like, sure. So then I wrote a menu, and I called him. He's like, great. I want you to surprise her. So we're going to come over at this time. And I had my little radio flyer wagon from when I was a baby. And there's a foster home on the corner, and there's just all different types of kids. It was like a scene from a movie. And I'm walking down the street. I have a half-smoked chicken on a sheet tray. I have my plates. I have all my little pints of herbs and purees and pasta. And I'm just walking like 10 houses down, and they're like riding their bikes around me. Like, so, sir, what are you doing? Asking me all these questions. And it was just like, wow, this is really cool. And then when I finished cooking there, I walked out of their house with my wagon. And the neighbors are sitting out there having a glass of wine and drinking a beer after they mowed the lawn. And they're like, are you going to cook for me tomorrow? And I was like, I'll talk to you. And then I cooked for them. And then I started cooking for their other friends. And then I was like, yo, oh, like, let's really make something out of this. So then we just, because he was doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was cooking for people at his loft. And I was like, let's just combine. And then we met Jordy at the hotel, and then he started doing cocktails, and then we're cooking for doctors and dentists and doing drop-offs for 4th of July parties, and here we are, like, our own bosses, doing what we want with the intentions that we want, and I've never felt better.
Because it's authentic, too, and it's like the things like, we're having a nice dinner, but we're playing like our music, you know, like
our music.
Because, and then people were like really dialed into the vibe and like how we're locking in on the food, because it just looks like it's just all pieces to the puzzle, you know. So it's always been authentic too. That's why like I feel like people mess with it, you know.
Yeah.
And then like it's even like the biscuits. Like the biscuits are so good, people are like, well, what else do you guys do, you know? So it's just all through love too. So it's just I'm glad that you always had that young love with it and took off with it. And we're talking about hard work, you know, it's just like the small reps.
Mm-hmm.
And having that wagon's funny.
Yeah, I've been wanting to share that story. I wish I had a drone above me. It was like, literally, it was a scene for me. There's like 10 kids on their bikes, just like riding around, asking me all these questions. And then, sir, can I help you bring the plates in? I'm like, no, it's okay.
So I let all the guests ask me 2 questions. You got some questions. What's your first question for me?
My first question is, what do you want to see come from working at a restaurant in your personal life?
Mm.
Because I can tell you what I've gained.
That's good. I just want to see, like, you know, it's always about evolving, but I love when people, like, that's why I don't try to, like, I don't know. It's different, though, when people, like, when you open the door and be like, hey, have you been in before? I don't try to, like, make it about my name, because I want to give it the service. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I feel like when people love that, they'll be like, hey, what's your name or something. Mm-hmm. Then I feel like you give that to them. So I just want them to remember the experience, you know, and, like, everything that comes about it, you know. So that's why, like, I feel like I serve that way, you know. And I want everyone to feel the welcome and then sit down and lock in on the food. And then when they're leaving, they're thinking about it. And then that's when they come back to like, hey, what's your name?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's all just making them like think about it, you know?
Yeah.
That's why people come back, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that's all I'm like, I remember you, and then pop the names and stuff. And it's the small things that matter. Mm-hmm. So you remember them, they're going to remember you. So that's what I want to do.
Yeah, that's good. I really enjoy working in a restaurant because it's helped me in my personal life with certain things like accountability, discipline, and learning to respect people in a different manner. And because you see all these different videos and movies about how intense kitchens are and how the chef talks to people. And it's like, it doesn't have to be like that. Like, we just all need to learn how to regulate our emotions more.
Like, if you want to be a hard-on chef, yeah, you could, but...
I have been, and it doesn't make me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And because when I went home after being talked to that way, I didn't feel good. Did I learn my lesson? Yes. But there are different ways to inspire others to do that. And I think my personal life, learning to regulate my emotions in those ways have made me feel better as a person and as a leader and a mentor. Because you can tell someone to do something in the heat of the moment. Like, you've even seen it with you. Like,
with us?
I've told you to stop talking, and I could have said, stop talking. You're going to listen to me. And another way, I just said, just stop talking. Let me figure this out. And, you know, you could have taken it very personal, or you could have just said, oh, let him figure it out. And I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that chef.
I feel it.
Oh, I feel it at times. But what the conversations I have to have with myself in the heat of the moment is more of like, how are they going to respond? How would I respond? What's the point that's going to get across? Are my emotions or are the facts? Because I want the facts to get across,
mm-hmm,
not my emotions. Because you can be mad at me for how I feel, because that's how I feel. But you cannot be mad at me for the facts.
Right.
It's just up to me how to get those facts across.
Mm-hmm.
And in a heat of moment, it's not always the best time.
That's
I have to talk myself off. And then usually people are like, you good, chef? I'm like, yeah, just give me a minute. Like, I'm boiling inside right now.
No, so, I feel that. Now, I got to get like that with customers too. Like, you know, sometimes like when we fatigue during the day, you give someone maybe not your best effort, and then you go back and think on that later, you know, and
yeah,
people don't deserve that. You know, they deserve the whole experience that everyone gets.
Yeah.
So it's about like for real checking yourself. And I get what you're saying on that for sure.
Yeah.
And that's growth too, though, yeah, you know.
I learned a lot of that from Tara Galena. She's really good at dealing with issues and problems like that on the fly in a very calm manner. And I look up to her in those regards, big time for that.
Where's she, Vicious?
She's co-owner of Take Root.
Oh, okay.
Chef Michael's wife.
Got you. So giving up drinking and being close to you, I've seen different you, just, you know, like you said, in the hair and skin and all that. How does soberness bring, like, clear thoughts, you know, rather than, you know, just drinking and dwelling on things and maybe not think on something as well, but... You know, what's brought new spark in your life? Like, you're running again, photography?
It's allowed me to become friends with myself again. Like I said before, I felt like I was behind since I went to art school, before I went to culinary school. So I would literally cook every day. Ellie and I would cook. When we lived together, we would cook when we get off work. We'd buy a 12-pack of beer and buy whatever we wanted, and we'd cook. We'd cook on our days off. When I lived with my parents and I was going to culinary school and I learned how to break a chicken down, I'm telling you, my family and neighbors were sick of chicken. Because I would literally get off work and buy a chicken, practice breaking it down, and then I grill it with stuff from, I was gardening and doing all types of stuff, but like, I put myself on the back burner. And I lost the friendship with myself. And that's huge, because I also lost my personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I was too serious all the time. And I would still joke around, but my stress got the best of me, and then that's when I would drink. And then when I would drink, I was never like a big asshole, but I kind of was, just because of the way that I would act. And
were you an asshole to yourself or to people?
Kind of both. I just didn't really think about what I would say, like what I said, how it would affect you or whoever I was talking to. I just didn't care. And that's not who I am. And it's allowed me to become my best friend again, to love myself again. And like, I've always wanted to inspire other people to do whatever, be the best version of themselves. And people that have known me for the past 7 to 12 years, like, I'm completely different than I was before. I'm the Brandon that I knew when I was 18, before I started partying a lot. And it feels good. I just feel more authentic, and I feel comfortable having conversations with myself that I didn't want to before.
Without, like, being drunk?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're true.
They're true, and they're a lot more clear, and the everyday is just different. You know, I don't look forward to getting a drink because I'm stressed out and hanging out with friends. I look forward to going on a run, putting my headphones in, listening to, you know, a self-care podcast, diving into learning why I am the way I am, and learning more about my childhood, and like getting closer with my inner child is just bringing more happiness and joy to my life that then I can share with the people in my life. And it's awesome. It's just, life's just so different because there's so much time that you didn't realize you spent drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the bar and watching a football game and having six beers versus running for 2 hours. It's like, there are days where I'm like, you know what? I've gotten this done. It's like today, if it wasn't 17 degrees, I might still go on a run. It just depends. Like, when I get done with my laundry and I'm sitting there and it's still light, I'm like, all right, let's do an open goal run. And then next thing you know, I'd run 14 miles. And that whole time I'm thinking about, you know, how last week was, what I want this year to look like, things that I can work on, conversations I've had with people, things that I'm very proud of. You know, I'm happier and I'm more proud of myself than I've ever been. And I think it's necessary for you to sit with those thoughts and feel them and mm-hmm. be proud of it. And
small wins matter.
Small wins matter big time, you know, and not to beat myself up because I unplugged the low boy to do something else, you know, that, and then forget to plug it in. Like, that was huge. And I went on a run and I thought about that.
But that's why you got a team too.
Yeah.
A good, yeah.
And just know that, like,
things
we're
happen.
All human. Mm-hmm. We make mistakes. And allowing myself to take time from my day for myself, because I take away so much time in my day for everyone else, whether I'm cooking or managing or doing whatever, I need that time for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to my tunes.
Yeah.
Got that doll playing.
No, for sure. And I love that because that's how you stick with you. I feel like, because at the end of the day, all you got is you at the end of the day, mm-hmm. for sure. And like, I tell my mom that all the time, who struggles with drinking. Like, you know, I was like, you know, even with putting me out the picture, you know, your mom and all that, like, we all got to want better for ourselves at the end of the day. And it starts with you, with everything. So I love that you're tapped into that for sure. And that's what matters. How do you grow as a chef, like, within you? Like, it don't have to be with everyone else, but, like, what do you do? Do you taste new, like, growing your palate? Do you taste new things, or just, like, were you like, I just want to try that, or, you know?
It's a lot of eating out, and just being cultured with different friends. One of my really good friends, and I consider him a mentor, is from Thailand, and he has showed me so many different techniques and flavors, and, like, I'm just very open to trying things. And then when you cook with them, like, he will brainwash shallot
completely. Who?
Jack, my friend Jack.
I met him?
No, he owns Thai 202 on the Central West End. It's like a Thai fast, like, street food, fast food type thing. But he's very talented. And, like, he might brainwash shallot different than I do, but they still look the same. And he might make a sauce ass backwards, but it still tastes the same. It's just because of how he grew up cooking and the things that he was exposed to. But tasting things and questioning, just asking questions, looking into stuff. But yeah, it's pretty much it. Just being inspired, reading cookbooks, traveling to different cities and trying food in their city that's similar to your city. It's like you see it at the biscuit joint. Like, people come in and are like,
our Iowa trip was fun too.
Yeah, and I'm from here, but this is how we serve a biscuit here. And then you're like, oh, but they're like, oh, we actually make biscuits with lard. And we're like, we do butter. And then it's just communicating really with different cultures. And
everything's different.
Mm-hmm.
for sure. It's just cool how, like, I just love how you got, I'll be back there and, like, seeing something smell, and it kind of looks like nothing in the process and days of work, and then it just comes to, like, beauty, you know? Yeah. And it's just so cool, like, seeing it. And that's why I've, like, I don't know, that's why I said, like, being around Domino's and stuff is a whole different, like, thing than being in, like, around chefs, you know, like.
But the crazy thing is if I worked at Domino's, I guarantee I'd learn something from there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, you do, 100%. You learn teamwork and, you know, being efficient and all that. And, but it's just, I feel like something, like, when you want to serve people, you know, you got to lock into people you can grow with, like your Chef Michael and stuff. So that's why I'm just glad I'm around guys like you and all that.
Yeah.
So, we both dealt with loss, you know, pretty significant losses in our lives. Would you say that like, played a big role into you wanting to serve, like, people and food? And does that, like...
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. But, I mean, losing a mom on your 8th birthday is a huge thing. And growing up, I went to therapy, but I kind of just dealt with it and just kind of just accepted it and didn't really dive deep into it. And until, you know, I was probably, like, 17, 18. I remember I asked my friend Corey, I was like, yo, dude, you want to go to Illinois and hang out with my grandma and go to lunch with me? And he's like, why? I was like, I just want... It's hard to understand yourself when someone is explaining someone else without someone there. So I'm like, so I just went with my grandma and we got Emos, we got some wings and pizza. And I was like, so just tell me what my mom was like. And she would explain things. And my buddy Corey's like, oh, that's definitely you. That's definitely you. Because it's easy to say you're something. But having someone that is your, just gone multiple family vacations with you, he's like your brother, you know. It was cool having him there. And then as I continue to grow older, different things would resurface, like different DVD or VHS that my uncle turned to a DVD, and looking back and hearing her voice and just seeing her in action. But hearing stories through my other uncle was really cool. There was one that really stood out. It was the day of my mom's funeral or her wake. There's a long line of people, and my uncle was letting people in. And he's like, oh, how did you know Larry? I don't believe I've ever met you. And she said, well, it was a rainy night, and I was on Highway 270, and my tire went out, and my cell phone wasn't working. And Lori pulled over, and she asked what she could do to help her. So then my mom helped her get in contact with her husband, ended up coming out and helping her. And come to find out that they would have phone calls from then on until she passed, just seeing how life was. And that is huge. Like, she didn't know her at all, but then ended up having multiple conversations with her, checking in with her and caring about her. And that's me.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. And taking care of people through food and just being a good leader and being there for people, that's me. And I'm living my life through her.
For sure. And I feel that for sure. And that's why I always ask, like, when I always go back to our first shift together and I saw, like, the way you were coping, I was like, are you okay? And, like, because I truly cared about you.
I was drinking.
Yeah, you were drinking. And I know you weren't, I know you weren't okay, but I always go back to that. And that's why, like, I just love, like, that's why I always, like, let you know that, like, I love seeing this because, like, you know, dark times are real and, like, people don't check in on people and stuff, but I feel like it's just about the light and the people you surround yourself by, too. And that's why we love being at the Biscuit, you know, because we spark each other up and it's just, like, don't feel like work there, you know, and we get our mind off of the things that we think about in our dark times, you know.
Yeah.
So, I feel that for sure. That's big. What was your second question for me?
Okay. So if God right now walked in that door and said, Swerve, you can have $1 million tomorrow or 10 million when I think you're ready, which would you choose?
I'll take the 10 million. I feel like it'll be right on time. I feel like he would know what we're doing, and I feel like he knows what he's doing with it. and I've been trusting that a lot more. And like, I don't know, money's stupid, you know? Money's stupid. And like, money's stupid, but you gotta have it, you know? And it just makes things flow and stuff. But I mean, I'm not this guy, like, I haven't been a guy of like biggest sums of cash, and my family isn't either. But I just feel like, I don't know, that's not things I look for in life, you know? So, and I feel like that's not what makes a person solid either. Or it makes the great times, you know? I've had great times with no money.
Me too.
So.
Well, yeah, I'm 34, almost 34, and I haven't had a lot of money.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I'm having a great time.
Yeah, so I don't think that's nothing that I'm ever, like, leaping for at all, you know? But it all comes back around, too. And we do a lot for free.
Yeah.
So why do I need it, you know? So.
I feel the same way, because when I thought of that, I was like, it'd be nice to have $1 million tomorrow, but I haven't had $1 million until now, so it's like, why not wait a little bit longer?
Yeah, and I feel like, I don't know. Dude, I just go back to, like, even, like, the small things, like, you guys giving the sandwich to the dude at the dinner. Like, small blessings like that, God's going to repay us for it in the later time. And that's what makes people like me, like, want to be around guys like you, because it's just all about the small character and stuff and stuff that really matters, you know, because he would have went anywhere else. I'd be like, you know, scram or whatever. Like, and you know that. You know that truly. So, I don't know. It's just different.
That's why Elliot and I really click, because it's like we want to take care of people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when one day when and if I'm just rolling in cash, I'm definitely going to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
The unhoused. And I remember probably like 6 years ago, I asked my mom, hey, if you guys have any old stuff in your closets, ask your friends, whatever, give it to me, ask the guys, the girls. And then what their friends ended up doing, they went to Dollar General and they all ended up buying like toiletries and socks and gloves and all that. And they just gave me this big box of stuff. So then I was working at Vissi at the time, and one of the dishwashers, Lou, came over and we made like little bags with a scarf, a hat, socks, gloves, toothbrush, toothpaste, and whatever. And I gave them out to friends at work and people that lived in the complex, so that you had a bag in your back seat for whenever you saw someone standing at the corner.
Mm-hmm.
You don't give them money, give them this.
Mm-hmm.
They had, you know, snacks and all that. And
stuff they need.
Stuff they need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the people that donated, it didn't impact them at all, I guarantee it. Like, it was $15 they spent it at Dollar General or the Dollar Tree, and instead of buying two Frappuccinos at Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you look at things like that, it's like, oh, I don't need a coffee, but they need gloves.
Yeah.
You know?
Facts. And that's what it's about. How do you test yourself to get better as a chef? Because it's easy to stay consistent and do the same stuff. Mm-hmm. But like...
Just to do things that you aren't used to doing. It's like, it's hard to really test yourself in that way. It's more so of, I've never cooked this, I wanna try this. Especially with me with pastry right now. It's like, I'm teaching myself everything. If anything, like, Elliot knows some stuff, and I'll ask him, and Josh knows some stuff, but like, I don't just open a book and say, okay, I'm doing this dessert. Here you go, Elliot, put that on the menu. I'm like, no, I'm gonna make a mousse. I'm gonna learn how to make this. I'm gonna learn how to make this. And then I create that. And I think that's a huge test.
Oh, 100%.
And it's like.
Cause it's a day's process. It's not just like.
It's not like savory cooking.
No.
I can't just be like, oh, it needs a little bit more salt. It's like, if I forget to add salt and it's in the oven, I gotta remake it. All of it's gone. And that could be hours of work. Which is really intimidating, but I feel so accomplished when I'm done. And you hear the people say, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And it brings them happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love seeing you cook desserts. I'm like, that's new. But you've been diving in.
Yeah.
Well, now we're about to dive into some swerving Q&A I got for every guest. It's been fun, Chef. Mm-hmm. Glad you came in.
Absolutely.
First question. Well, we talked about food all the time. We're going to get some different questions. I got you.
Yeah.
All right. The first question I had was, where do you find your beauty within cooking? Like, where's, like, the best part that you enjoy?
Ooh. I mean, most people would say the first bite and the reaction.
Your first bite or no people's? Yeah.
People's first bite. I think hearing the memories that are brought to surface from eating a dish that either I've created or me, Elliot's created or whatever. It's just at the hotel, I had someone come up to me one time and they were crying. And I didn't know how to respond. They were just like, thank you so much. This just brought back a memory of my uncle who recently just passed away. And like,
nostalgia.
I caught myself like, ooh, I'm about to start crying because I've had those experiences. But
no, I feel that.
That moment is it.
That's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about that. What's something you go back and tell your 18-year-old self? Because that was the time you said you were kind of like going into different places and now yeah. You kind of lived a whole different life after that.
I would say, cook, move away, and then come back.
Move away from St. Louis?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do school, did you?
I went to culinary school. Yeah, that's how I got the job at Vicia.
Got you.
But I just didn't have the funds and I had too many bills at that point. When you're 18, you can up and go and be broke, you know,
mm-hmm.
and have your cell phone bill.
No, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find your happiness? And would you say you found it or you're still like looking? There's still some pieces?
I'm on my way. I mean, I find happiness every day in the little things.
Facts.
You know? But overall happiness, I mean, I think that's a journey that you're just, it's just ongoing. You know, but learning to find happiness in the small things is priceless to me.
Oh, for sure.
Because you can be happy all day off of one thing. Like having that person come in and be like, you know what, I've had a real shit week, but I've been here twice this week, and then those biscuits, they make me happy. That.
Like, facts.
It's a biscuit.
Made with love, though.
Yeah.
That's what's up. And who would you like to see on Swervin'?
Who would I like to see on Swervin'? Oof. Man, that's hard. I'd like to see Elliot. I'm just kidding. I'd like to see, I don't know, someone that you really look up to. Someone that you really want to, that you really want to see. Because I like seeing people happy, and when you're happy, it's great.
I feel
those
that.
Laughs, man.
My God. No, yeah, I feel that too, and that's why I love being around guys like you, because like we were talking about that in the last podcast. She was kind of like, she asked me what's next for me, and I was like, just kind of just being in the now, you know, because guys like you depend on me and my character and what I bring to work. Like when I come to work, Pitbull, like, yeah. You know, Biscuit ain't jumping. Nothing ain't going right. But I feel like when I come in, like head on wheels, you know, we're all on the same page, and
yeah.
Biscuit's jumping, yep. And life's good. So I think like a lot of people count on me, so I got to count on myself from the day to day and the small wins, you know.
Yeah.
So I definitely get that, and that's kind of like where I'm at. So I respect that answer.
Yeah.
I'm gonna search for that because you guys make me want to go harder because you believe in me, you know.
Yeah.
I love you guys. Love you, Chef. This is Swervin' Podcast. It's episode 6 of season 6, and we're out.